From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. He who has ears, let him hear. And you know, I look at these two thoughts and they compel me to consider that if I'm to have ears to hear and eyes to see, that means that Jesus really has something to show me and really has something to say to me. Daily, God has something to say to you and to me every day that we live.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. I'm compelled to just share with you some things that God continues to stir in my heart during this season in my life. You know, I've awakened for the past few days this week with two scriptures ringing appropriately in my ears and in my heart. And the first one is Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. And it just simply says, "He who has ears, let him hear." You got ears, which I've given to you, not physical ears, but spiritual ears, then hear what the Spirit is saying. You hear that all the way through Scripture. You got ears? Well, you better start hearing. Listen to what the Spirit says for your life. And then the second one was Luke chapter 10, verse 23. He says of Christ turning to the disciples and saying privately to them, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see." Now, these scriptures have two important principles that as I look back over my tenure here, there's not been a Sunday gone by that I've not asked God to open eyes and to open ears so that we might see the Word and hear the Word that God wants to give to us. And yet, I can't explain to you how fresh and how new and how powerful these two principles have been in my life this past week. Some of the things that God is showing me and saying to me is, listen, I've given you ears to hear and I've given you eyes to see. Are you really seeing what I want you to see? And are you really hearing what I want you to hear? And the things that you're hearing, are you living according to them? And you know, I look at these two thoughts and they compel me to consider that if I'm to have ears to hear and eyes to see, that means that Jesus really has something to show me and really has something to say to me. Every day of your life, God wants to show you a bit of Himself. God wants to show you a bit of His glory. God wants to give you that daily bread that you might live on, that you might speak on. And you know, He spent 3 years of His public ministry showing us how to see and how to hear. And I'm afraid that because we are so image familiar in this technological society that we have failed to really hear and see what God is doing. And yet we've never settled down to really look what God is doing through people's lives, no matter how vile they are, no matter how great they are in our lives. And the circumstances, no matter how good they are or how bad they are, God wants to speak to us through them. God has something to say to you and to me every day that we live. And He does that through, yes, the Word, but He also does it through the Word that is working in people's lives and situations around us. And I've come to really see that as Jesus spoke in His life, in His ministry, He showed us how we are to see our neighbor. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't love your neighbor until you have seen your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor as yourself until you have seen your neighbor. And I mean just really see him. Jesus did this. Jesus taught us this. For instance, in Mark chapter 12, the story of the widow's mite, Jesus teaches us how to see and what lens to look through. Not the temporal lens of the carton or the flesh, but the eternal lens of the Spirit of God to see who people are and where they really are in this life. Notice what he says. He sat down opposite the treasury. He began observing how the multitudes were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amounts to a cent. Folks, this is an everyday image in the temple. This is happening every day. People are coming by the treasury and they're dropping their offerings in. This is a very familiar scene to the Jew who visits the temple. And I'm afraid that so many times we'll let things pass without really seeing what God wants to show us. I know I'm guilty of that. We look at the folks with the large sums of money and think, aren't they great people? We would set up foundations. We would build buildings and place their names on it to say that they gave such great contribution to this institution, to this church, to this college, to this university. That's what we would do. You know, we have this idea about the greatness of what we give. But Jesus says, no, you're looking at it all wrong. You're looking at it with physical eyes. You're not looking at it through the eyes of the spirit, the spiritual lens, the window pane here. He called his disciples and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. Are you kidding me, Lord? Come on. We saw with our own eyes. We saw the hundreds of thousands of dollars placed today. And you're telling us that 2 cents was more than the thousands of dollars given by these folks? And Jesus says, you better believe it is, because all of them took it out of their surplus. But she, out of her poverty, all that she owned, all she had to live on, that's what she did. And what Christ did was says, listen, you can't look at the way things are outwardly. It'll fool you every time. You don't judge by outward appearances. You don't judge by the size of your gift, but the size of your heart. And what God is doing in that heart that would cause you to give all. Jesus is saying to us in this passage of Scripture, don't look with physical eyes. You look at the woman who gave the least out of her poverty, and she is the one who gave the most. And out of the most that she gave, I'm going to use her, and I'm going to honor her, and I'm going to glorify. No building named after her today. But I tell you what, she's in heaven ruling and reigning, amen. And we speak of her today, 2,000 years later. What a great God. Teaching us to see things that we're not seeing. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8. Notice how he taught us to see with the adulterous woman. Notice what he says. Early in the morning, verse 2. He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, he said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say? And they were saying this to test him in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground. And I want to ask you, when you see someone like this, what do you see? Are you easily critical? Are you easily judgmental? Are you ready to throw the stone? Are you ready to bring down the sentence on this person? What are you ready to do? How are you ready to do it? Jesus stands up. He says, he was without sin among you, let him be the first to throw the stone. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone in the woman where she was in the midst. And straightened up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. No, no one. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way. And wait, by the way, from now on, sin no more. Get out of this sinfulness that you're in. That's the repentance. That's the accountability. But he says this, I'm not going to condemn you. Scripture says that every one of us and every person you come in contact was made in the image of God, and God has placed eternity in their hearts. Hear that? Every person alive has been made in the image of God, and God has placed eternity in their hearts. And I believe on that day, I believe on that precious day in that life of that woman, well, the most horrible day of her life became the best day of her life. Why? Because God saw eternity in her heart. He didn't see the junk. He saw eternity. He saw the potential. He saw the life that she could have. And I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm seeing people through the lens of my own fallenness, and my own judgments, and my own critical eyes, it's never once brought peace to my life. I want to look at people with the knowledge that there's a spark of the divine life, ready to come to life. I want to see them as God sees them. Men and women lost, yet with eternity ringing in their hearts and their souls. Men and women chasing after eternity. Isn't that what we're chasing after today? In all the stuff of this world that we think that we want, it's really eternity that we want. It's the eternal heaven that we're longing for, and the eternal one who gives meaning to life. How are you seeing people today? What are you seeing in their lives? Because I believe with everything that I am, the person in the gutter to the greatest saint that you know, God wants to use to speak into your life. Don't miss it. I mean, here was this woman who came from the absolute gutter of sin, and yet as she came out of that sin and they accused her and they caught her in the very act and they brought her before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with one stroke, shows the compassion of God and lifts her up and says, I don't condemn you. No condemnation here. That's the kind of God we serve. It's the kind of God that met you in your filth, met you in your darkness when you were caught red-handed. It's the God who says, I don't condemn you. I don't throw stones. I throw my life on you. And folks, we must do the same. That doesn't mean that we don't have a strong word against sin. But there's a strong word for the sinner so that he might be accepted like you and I were accepted. How are you seeing people today? How are you seeing circumstances? Folks, listen to me. We need to look past the window pane of man's doing, of the temporal and the manageable, and we need to see eternity. Because not only is there no person, there is no time, no season in your life, no event, no circumstance that God cannot be there speaking through them. And I'm making my stand today to stop and to listen, to see what God is saying, what God is doing, not only through people, but through the circumstances of my life. Because I believe that's what Jesus taught us to do. My house in the living room is a big window pane. And I've got a great view that looks out. But lately this season, we've had a fly problem. And do you know what flies do when they light? They make a mess. Flies are still busy when they're standing still. Okay. 'Cause you know what? You can see their junk all over my window right now. My beautiful picture window. Every time I go by that window, I just gaze out that window and I look at eternity. I look at creation. I look at the handiwork of God. In recent days, because we can't keep it clean fast enough, I'm looking at the imperfection of the window. I'm looking at the fly mess on the window, and I'm grumbling and I'm complaining about the temporal window pane, and I'm missing eternity today. I'm missing the beauty of the view. I'm missing that eternal by looking at the temporal and complaining about the fly mess when behind it, it is a wonderful scene, a wonderful life, a wonderful work of God, a handiwork of God. And don't you know that's what we do? I mean, we look at the imperfections of our circumstances and the imperfections of people, and we fail to see the wonder and the beauty and the great picture that's before me that God sees. That God has always seen. God wants us to look through that window pane and not see the windows or the imperfections. He wants us to see the view. Are you seeing it today? Are you seeing it in people's lives? Or are you seeing it in the imperfect situations and circumstances of your life? See, because Jesus not only spoke of how we are to see people, but how we're to see circumstances. He did this with his own death in Hebrews chapter 12. Go ahead and turn there for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. Wonderful interpretation of what Jesus did while he was on the cross. Most horrific, torturous event that anybody could go through in their lives. God wants to speak through. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus, who, when he was going through his circumstances, notice what he says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what do you think he's doing there? He's ruling and reigning. You see, through the window pane of the cross, through the window imperfection of the cross, the horrific ugliness of the cross, for the joy set before him, he looked through that pane to see what God would do. He saw the view. And guess what he saw? He saw you and me. And that's what brought him joy. He looked past the window pane of junk and crucifixion, and the world would see crucifixion, but heaven would see resurrection. The world would see suffering, and God would see the lack of wrath on your life and my life. The world would see failure, but heaven would see a great success story. The world would see death, heaven saw life. The world saw what a waste, heaven saw the gift. And I'm afraid that as I pass by my window, I've quit seeing the gift. And I've looked at the junk. And how often I've done that in circumstances of my life. What does God want to see about your circumstances? Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would, very quickly, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, verse 16, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, what's our inner man doing? It's being renewed day by day. Do you see why I've got to look deeper than the carton here? Because the carton is getting older and it's breaking down and it's decaying. But the scripture says if you would look in to a person where eternity has been struck by that match and it's ablaze in your life and heart, that eternity in your heart, it gets better and better is what he's saying. The outer man's decaying, but the inner man, that which is eternal, is being renewed day by day. And momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I want to ask you this. Whatever situation you're going through, whether it's a job problem, a health problem, whether it's a financial need, a relational need, will you just agree with the word that this is just momentary and it's really light affliction? If you just would agree with that, do you know what would happen? The weight would leave your shoulders. Maybe the circumstances would change, but the weight would leave you. Why? Because you just agreed with God that this is momentary. It's not going to last forever. This season's going to change. This time's going to change. It's momentary and it's light. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. And maybe I don't know what you're going through. But you know what? This is what God says. It's momentary and it's light. But guess what the affliction does? The affliction produces the weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, the window pane, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This affliction produces within me this room with a view that Jesus is moving in my life, conforming to His image, becoming the man or the woman that God's called us to be. It is producing for you a weight of glory. Will you not see it? If you got eyes, you'll see it. If you got ears, you'll hear it. And you will rejoice today because it's temporary and it's light. And you get to go from this place to see the relief of God in your life. The scripture says in Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I'm keeping your word. See, affliction drove me to the word. Affliction drove me to life, to eternity. And when we go through the wilderness, when we go through the hard circumstances, you know what we like to do? Instead of just seeing what God wants to do today, we think of someday instead of today. Someday, I'm going to be financially secure. Someday, I'll get married. Someday, I'll have a child. Someday, I'll get that job. Someday I'll get that promotion. Someday I'll get that direction. Someday I'll know. And you know what? One day we wake up and we've had all these somedays and we've missed all the 2 days. We've missed all the moments. I don't want to live like that anymore. Even when there's pain and even when there's suffering and even when there's darkness and even when it just seems like this season will never, ever end, I want to find what God's doing today. Because you know what? It's not about your career. It's not about your physical health. It's not about your job. It's not about your finances. It's not about even your relationships so much. It's about your soul. It's about your heart. And I just believe that Jesus is a whole lot more concerned about your spiritual health than He is about your financial security. Because, folks, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. This is a soul issue. And when I look ahead, no, let me say it this way. When I fret about what's ahead, what it does, it causes me to miss the very powerful moments with people I love, such as my wife, my son, my girls, my church experience. When I fret ahead, it causes me to miss very powerful teaching moments, very powerful opportunities, opportunities that pass like a vapor, like a phantom. They're here once and they're gone the next moment, and they're missed opportunities of the day, never to be captured or seen again. Don't miss what God is doing even in your pain. Even in your suffering, don't miss what God's doing in that person's life, even in their depression, even in their sin and their rebellion, even in their great times and good times. Don't miss it, folks. Don't miss it. God wants to teach you. God wants you to see through the pain and see the eternal, not the temporal. Why don't you turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 38. We'll close with this morning. This leads me to ask the question, what does God want me to really see in the midst of the storm? What does He want me to see? What does He want me to hear? Storm that's raging in your life? What does God want to show you? Verse 35 of chapter 4 says, on that day when evening had come, He said to them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they took Him along with Him, just as He was in the boat, and other boats were with Him. There arose a fierce gale of wind. The waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. And He Himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him, and they said to Him, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And being aroused, He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, became perfectly calm. And He said to them, why are you so timid? How is it you have no faith? And then they became very much afraid. And they said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? You know, I think about this storm and it blows. And our first response is fear, worry, and anxiety. See, they're scared for their skin. They're not scared for their soul. And you know, I think that is a very pertinent thing, because you know what they do? In this fiercest gale of their lives, they accuse Jesus. I mean, they question His integrity, His character. They maul His character by saying, you're sleeping on the job and you don't care about me. You can give a flip about me and my circumstances. And I would tell you, folks, I would tell you, that is an injustice to the great name of our great God. Because He does care. Do you think the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, omnipotent God in the flesh, really did not know what was going on in that moment? I guarantee you, He knew exactly what was going on. And when it's all over, you learn something. You see something. Number one, that you're just timid. That you don't have any faith. That's something that we see in our lives. But that if you have faith, it'll always be enough. And if you don't, chances are you'll still turn out pretty well physically, just like the disciples did. You know what? They didn't have faith that day, and yet it turned out all right for them, didn't it? Didn't it? You know, sometimes the chances are, when I don't have faith, still God's going to take care of me. But you know what I think? I think nothing changed in the soul that day. The soul was still sick. The heart was still sick with unbelief. Yeah, they got through with their skin, but not their soul. God wants to heal your soul. God wants to take care of your spirit. When faith says, it is well with my soul, even when it's not well physically or even emotionally, it is well with me because of who God is in my life. Now, as I think about this, hearing and seeing, I believe that when we really hear and see, we become the men and women God wants us to be. When we hear and see, we will follow with obedience. We will follow what God says. We will learn what He's teaching us and showing us. And we'll take these lessons and these moments to heart. And we will cry out to God for even more. Lord, just more. Show us of Yourself. Because, Lord, it is so great to hear You. And the question that I ask this morning is, as I think about my life, what do people see and hear about me? What do they see and hear about you? See, because I believe that if you're hearing and seeing God, you become like Christ, and that's who they see. But what do people see at your work? What do they hear? Do they have eyes to see who you are and ears to hear what you are? No, there was an English missionary in India whose mission board required him to keep detailed financial records, for which he had to be skilled at double-entry bookkeeping, which he wasn't. He had no background in accounting or business. He only had a calling to be a missionary. But his balances were always off, and separate accounts he was supposed to keep, they kept getting mixed up. And so the mission board released him. Unfit for the mission field was their assessment, when in truth he was only unfit for bookkeeping. He left without incident, nobody knew where. Years later, a woman missionary visited a remote jungle village to introduce the natives to Jesus. She told them of His kindness, of His love. His love for the poor, and how He went to their homes to eat with them, and how He visited them when they were sick, and how He fed the hungry, healed the sick, bound up the wounds of the brokenhearted, and how children loved to follow Him. The eyes of the natives lit up, their faces beamed, and one of them exclaimed, Miss Sahib, we know Him well. He has been living here for years. Jesus, who you speak of, has been living here for years. When they took her to see Him, It was the man who years earlier had been dismissed by the mission board. He had settled there to do his work, sequestered from the double entry tyranny of bookkeeping. Whenever anyone was sick, he visited them and he waited up all night outside their hut if necessary, checking on them, tending to their needs. And when they were hurt, he nursed their wounds. For the old and infirm, he brought food and water. And when cholera broke out in the village, he went from hut to hut doing what he could to help. And I wonder, says this author, if someone were to come to our village, our neighborhood, our place of work, and that person began to describe Jesus, would anybody hearing the description say, "We know him well. We know her well. He's been living here. He's been working here for years." For this missionary, he looked through the pain and the imperfection of a mission board that supposedly took his call away from him. That's profound. No bitterness, no anger, no unforgiveness. He looked past the temporal of not being able to take care of books and stayed true to his call. You know why? Because he had eyes to see and ears to hear. That's what he did. He had eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit was saying. What is the Spirit saying? That there's a spark of eternity in your life. Someone along the way was used as a spark or as a flint to strike that spark, and it came to life. It came to life. Eternity in your heart was met by the Lord Jesus Christ as he entered your heart. And there is one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's that you'd become like the Eternal One that placed the spark there in the first place. That's what this missionary did. He was Jesus to this village. Jesus. Miss Sahib, he's already here. He's been living here for years. I want to ask you, are you looking past the imperfections of your husband, of your wife, of your marriage, of your brother, your sister, your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, past the imperfections of your children, your grandchildren? And are you seeing eternity? Are you hearing eternity? Are you going to look past the circumstances of your life, the things that were so hurtful and so hard, and say, beyond this imperfection, there's a great view, and it's eternal. No more grumbling. No more whining. But only praising, because God's at work. Folks, it's time to repent. Like I know it's time for me to repent this week of looking with physical eyes instead of eternal eyes. I don't want to live another day like that. I want to see what's really there and what God is really doing. Because you know why? Because he's giving me ears to hear and eyes to see. And I want to be faithful steward of the ears and the eyes that God's given me. And I want to walk. And I want to walk in obedience to what he's saying, what he's doing. I hope that's your prayer and your commitment this morning.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.